coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is Monday, February 7th, 2022. I got a lot of stuff to get into. HagmanReport.com. If you go, folks, go to HagmanReport.com. Open up today's episode. The links for what I'm about to lay out for you are all there. Okay. And I want to give a great shout out to a social media individual, Truth Justice or Lakovas Justice. Again, the link to that particular feed will be in the program notes at HagmanReport.com. The narrative by the globalists, the party of Davos, the World Economic Forum, the Klaus Schwabs, the Bill Gates, the Fidel Castro, Justin Trudeau, Fidel Castro Jr., that is, Justin Trudeau, and I mean that, at least based on my research, they are running scared. Things are falling apart. A little bit here in the United States, things are going to be ramping up over the next 30 days. This is the most critical moment in history. We are at a hinge point in history. Folks, please pay attention to what I'm about to lay out for you. One of the greatest things I saw, now this was pointed out to me last night in our Patreon meeting. If you're not a Patreon member, I would urge you, please, to sign up for Patreon. It's really a good how we fund this operation in part. But I know that Alex Jones had discussed the doctor attorney Reiner Fulmich, the grand jury investigation going on right now in Europe and specifically in Germany, the International Criminal Grand Jury investigation. Now, you may think that this is just all, you know, fluff or butternut, whatever. It's all nothing, right? Listen to a couple of clips that we've isolated here, all right? I'm going to start out with the introduction because, like all good court cases, you need a solid introduction. What I'm about to lay out for you is the evidence brought forth very nicely, explaining why we're here, how we got here, who put us here, and who our real enemies are. This, as we are looking in Canada at Ottawa, the police coming in, by orders of the police chief, by orders of the mayor of Ottawa, taking the truckers' fuel and food. And I would say day number 10 of this protest in Ottawa, as well as in the Coots Crossing, just north of Montana. These have been very, very peaceful. Very peaceful. As a matter of fact, the most polite uprising you've ever seen in the history of man. But the media, if they don't report it, they're reporting on things like Confederate flags and Nazi flags that were put there by agitators. Any instances of arrest? There were two, collectively two, and the arrests were for not providing or choosing not. The two truckers chose not to provide identification when asked. That's the long and short of it. But this has got the attention of the world, except from the mainstream media. They're not showing you what is really happening. What is really taking place is a grassroots polite revolution. Now, I fear this. I fear that the politeness will wear out. Something will happen, and it's going to be sparked by the left, by the communists, because we've seen this play before so many times in history. to make it look as if the patriots, the people who are fighting back, caused some issue, when in fact it will be the communists. And we've already seen that in, I believe it was in Winnipeg. Let me just double check here. There was a Winnipeg Freedom Convoy. Protesters showed up, and one rammed a car into the Freedom Convoy. Well, he's been since identified as Antifa Communist Revolutionary David Zgarek. And if you look at his rap sheet, it's a typical Democrat. It's a typical leftist. It's a typical Party of Davos supporter. It's a typical confused individual. And I say confused, I guess evil would be more appropriate. And then you've got these false flags where counter protesters claim to get hit by trucks and get punched. And, you know, it's one of the most, you would expect to see all of this taking place. But the mind numbing part of this is the legacy media. If they don't report on it, they believe that you won't, you're not paying attention. And that's true for a number of people. So here's what I ask you to do. I ask everyone, please share the fact that there are freedom convoys in Canada. There will be freedom convoys here in the United States. We are making a difference. We have the Party of Davos, these globalist scumbags. They are in a corner. And that makes them very dangerous, I might add. But again, back to my primary point. What caused this? As I said, Alex Jones reported on this yesterday, and we spoke about this at the Patreon meeting last night. Again, there's an international criminal grand jury investigation ongoing, headed by Dr. Attorney Reiner Fuhlmilch. I'm slaughtering that name, perhaps. But again, as reported by social media poster Truth Justice at Lavacus Justice. Again, the links to that social media feed will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. All right, let's show the first minute and 10 seconds or first minute and a half, the opening statement by Dr. Attorney Reiner Fuhlmilch. Here it is.
We are very appreciative of the viewers' participation in this proceeding. It's a model proceeding. And I will say on behalf of the entire group of lawyers, some of whom you have met, some others you will see during the continuing proceeding when we question witnesses, for example. I want to thank you, and I want to implore you to support us, to watch this, to tell the world what is really going on, because there are not very many sources which you can trust. There are a few sources. This is one of them. And we believe this is one of the most important ones of them, because what we're doing here, what we're undertaking, is to give you a complete picture of what has happened and what is happening. Because only by seeing the complete picture will you come to the conclusion that we cannot trust those whom many of us are used to trusting. Our governments are not our governments anymore. Our institutions have been infiltrated by those who are committing these crimes against humanity. More importantly, once you realize that, you will also come to the conclusion that it is only us, the people, who will make a difference. We will put an end to this, and we will make sure that there will be cleanup afterwards, including the procedures that are necessary in order to bring justice and in order to bring those to justice who have committed these crimes against humanity. Thank you very much.
That was the beginning. That was the opening statement. I would like to say this. What he said there, understand this. The people, the party of Davos, the globalists have insinuated people into all aspects of governments. Klaus Schwab admitted as much, Bill Gates as well, and other globalists, but specifically Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum. They are the de facto head or the executive branch of this global governance. All right. So, but understand this, what he said there, you can't trust those who you thought you could trust. And I will add this, because of the infiltration of our government, that goes for school boards, that goes for county commissioners, city councils, members, county council members, again, school boards, as I said, with the CRT, critical race theory teachings, that includes all levels at the state government, all levels at the federal government, they've all been infiltrated. America is a captured operation. If we are to fight back, it's up to you in 2022. Let's go to clip number two. This is where it begins to take steam. Here it is.
I would now like to give the floor to Dr. Rainer Föhmich, attorney at law in Germany, for an overview.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Rainer Föhmich, and it is my pleasure to serve as one member of a group of distinguished international attorneys and lawyers who have been collaborating on this very important case for many months now. This case, involving the most heinous crimes against humanity committed under the guise of a corona pandemic on a global scale, looks complicated only at first glance. But when you put together all those pieces, all those little pieces of the puzzle, as we will do this for you with the help of many renowned experts and other witnesses during this proceeding, you will see four sets of facts. One, there is no corona pandemic, but only a PCR test plandemic, fueled by an elaborate psychological operation designed to create a constant state of panic among the world's population. This agenda has been long planned. It's ultimately unsuccessful. Precursor was the swine flu some 12 years ago. And it was cooked up by a group of super rich, psychopathic, and sociopathic people who hate and fear people at the same time, have no empathy, and are driven by the desire to gain full control over all of us, the people of the world. They are using our governments and the mainstream media, both of which they literally own, to convey their panic propaganda 24/7. Two, the virus itself can be treated safely and effectively with vitamin C, D, zinc, etc., and also with off-label use of ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, etc. But all these, not alternative methods of treatment, but real methods of treatment, were banned by those who are using the guise of this pandemic to push their ultimate goal, which is to get everyone to receive the, as we will show in this proceeding, not only ineffective, but highly dangerous, yes, lethal, experimental injections.
All right, that was clip number two. And by the way, the website for this particular proceeding is grand-jury.net. Again, the link will be at the program description box at HagmanReport.com. What he said right there, psychopaths, and it's very true. I don't care if you're talking at the level of your own PCP. If they are unwilling to provide early treatment, early therapeutics, once you receive or once you become infected with this bioweapon, then I would submit to you, number one, they need to be absolutely fired. You need to fire them. And number two, they need to be reported to this particular body or whatever body would be appropriate. I'm telling you right now, they're not off the hook. And as far as not being off the hook, media as well. Now, this is where it really takes steam. This is the part I think Alex Jones said it showed yesterday. But let's take a look at this and really pay attention to this clip, clip number three. Go ahead.
Three. The same people who made the swine flu, which ultimately turned out to be a mild flu, into a pandemic 12 years ago by first changing the definition of what a pandemic is and then creating panic, created this corona pandemic. The swine flu was their first real attempt at creating a pandemic. And just as one of its purposes then was to divert our attention from the blatantly fraudulent activities of their financial industry, more aptly to be called a financial mafia, which had become visible through the Lehman crisis, this is also one of their major purposes of this corona pandemic now. Had we taken a closer look then, during the Lehman crisis, instead of blindly believing our governments, government's promises that the perpetrators of those financial crimes will be held liable, we would have seen then that they had been looting and plundering our public coffers for decades. And we would have seen that our governments are not our governments anymore. Rather, they have been taken over by the other side through their main platform, the World Economic Forum, which had started to create their own global leaders through their Young Global Leaders Program as early as 1992. Two of the first graduates being Angela Merkel and Bill Gates. And we would have understood already then what we will show you now through this proceeding. These financial crimes went unchallenged by our politicians because they're aiding and abetting those who commit them and profiting from these crimes.
You know, just like 9/11, when that missile hit the Pentagon or whatever it was hit the Pentagon, isn't it interesting that the day before, and you know this, hey, we're missing about $2 trillion from the budget, don't know where it is, don't know what happened, and bang, 9/11 happens the next day. And the very part of the Pentagon that handles that kind of information, yeah, gets obliterated. The same with World Trade Center 7, Building 7. You know, the building that came down in freefall. That had all the records of various law enforcement documentation on crimes by some of the globalists. Gone. Done. All right. So understand, this is a blueprint that's been used really forever by these psychopaths. I want to continue with this because this again is so critically important, because why we are here today is being laid out before you. If we can go to clip number four.
Four. Ultimately, however, we will show to you, the jury, that the other side's main purpose is to gain full and complete control over all of us. This involves the finalization of their looting and plundering by deliberately destroying our small and medium-sized businesses, retail businesses, hotel and restaurants, so that platforms such as Amazon can take over. And this involves population control, which in their view requires both a massive reduction of the population and manipulating the DNA of the remaining population with the help, for example, of mRNA experimental injections. But it also requires, in their view, the deliberate destruction of democracy, of the rule of law, and of our constitutions through chaos, so that ultimately we will agree to losing our national and cultural identities and instead will accept a one-world government under the UN, which is now under the full control of them and their World Economic Forum, a digital passport through which each and every move is monitored and controlled, and one digital currency, which we will only be able to receive from one world bank. Theirs, of course. At the conclusion of the case, and after you have heard all the evidence, we are confident that you will recommend indictments against all six putative figurehead defendants: Christian Drosten of Germany, Anthony Fauci, the United States, Tedros of the World Health Organization, Bill Gates, BlackRock, and Pfizer. Ladies and gentlemen, this case is about a long-planned agenda of a group of ultra-rich people and their financial mafia based in the city of London and on Wall Street to use a pseudo-pandemic as a guise behind which While our attention is on the pandemic, they want to complete their decades-long efforts to gain full and complete control over all of us.
What do you think? I mean, does that not make sense? And again, we're looking at this grand jury, so to speak. This is an appeal to the court of public opinion. This is the way to get information out. This is a group of international lawyers and a judge, and they're getting together. And this is a scenario modeled after the United States grand jury proceedings. This will serve as a legal model legal proceeding to present to a jury consisting essentially of citizens of the world all available evidence of COVID-19 crimes against humanity. And that includes all crimes by them to date against the leaders, organizers, instigators, and accomplices who aided, abetted, or actively participated in the formulation and execution of a common plan for a pandemic. What crimes are they looking at? They include, all acts performed or omitted by a person in pursuance of a common design to commit crimes against humanity, and all such criminal acts condemned in the various communities of jurors around the world. The allegation, just again to be clear, is that the world's governments have come under the controlling influence of a corrupt and criminal power structure or structures. They colluded to stage a pandemic that they've been planning for years. If you go back to RFK Jr.'s book, The Real Anthony Fauci, you can see how really, this began back, remember the swine flu pandemic back in the 70s? Remember that? Now, Fauci was not in charge of the anywhere within the NIH structure, but shortly thereafter he was, and then, of course, AIDS, HIV/AIDS. And we know how his testing of the drug for AIDS worked out with children, minors, and as Celia Farber, the reporter who reported on this and is cited in RFK Jr.'s book, how she found and viewed the unmarked graves of the children who were killed by the experimentation of Joseph Mengele II, Saint Anthony Fauci, to the leftist, lunatic, leader, psychopath of the world, and even in America. The it is so difficult to really wrap one's mind around. Could there be a conspiracy of this magnitude? There certainly could be and is. You know, the whole purpose behind this and what the Canadian truckers right now and American truckers soon are fighting is to persuade, or the whole purpose of this, what they're fighting against, is this persuasion. The purpose of this mass panic was to persuade the population to agree to the so-called vaccination, which is not a vaccination, which have in the meantime been proven to be neither effective nor safe, but extremely dangerous, and you heard lethal. And it's interesting because, again, my column for this issue of Wisconsin Christian News gets into the fact that DMED, the database, and this is important, and I'm going to close it up with this. I want people to hear this, and you can read this if you go to and I ask that you go to WisconsinChristianNews.com and subscribe and donate to this publication because we need them to be out there spreading this. But on January 24th of this year, Senator Ron Johnson, and folks, I'm sure you know this, held a five-hour roundtable or panel discussion with a group of world-renowned doctors and medical experts on the matters relating to SARS-CoV-2 and treatments and the impacts of the mRNA vaccines, mRNA jabs, that is. Now, the specific significance, and folks pay attention, please, to this, of this was the attorney Tom, the testimony of the attorney Tom Rentz, who served as the spokesman for three whistleblowers from the U.S. military, including, well, the following three: Samuel Sigaloff, Peter Chambers, and Teresa Long. Now, you've heard John Moore, who's going to be joining me very shortly, talk about Teresa Long. They found a significant increase in registered diagnoses from miscarriages, cancer, and other such diagnoses of health problems and medical conditions, an increase in 2021 compared to the five previous years that include 2016 through 2020. Listen to these numbers, because Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin sent a letter to Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin on February 1st saying, hey, we've seen a number of increases and we want the data, we want the data preserved, and we want some answers. Listen to these numbers. Since the five-year period between 2016 and 2020, inclusive, you take those numbers, compare them to 2021. In 2021, you had the following increases: hypertension up 2,181%. Nervous system disorders increased by 1,048%. Malignant cancers of the esophagus, 894% increase. I'm just going through a couple of them here. Testicular cancer for men, 369% increase, which is what you would expect. As in women, ovaries, the ovarian dysfunction, a 437% increase. But you know what? There's nothing to see here, right? Nothing to see here. But here's where it gets better. All of these numbers reside on a computer system or a computer database known as the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database, or DMED. That's where these numbers reside. That's where the military conducts surveillance of the health of their troops, of our troops, of our young men and women. Guess what happened? Can you take a guess what happened? When the news of this increase, absolute increases were made public, at least public based on the letter from Ron Johnson to Lloyd Austin, the Defense Department, in terms of the spokesman for Lloyd Austin and the Defense Department, Peter Graves, they didn't respond to Senator Johnson, Austin, or Peter Graves as a spokesperson. They contacted PolitiFact. And you know what they did? They said, hey, PolitiFact, here's what happened. There was a computer glitch for the 5 years between 2016 and 2020. And you know what? The numbers, they were off really bad. We had a computer glitch, and we understated the numbers during that five-year period. So the increases for 2021, they weren't that bad. In fact, they were negligible. How evil does one have to be? How evil does the agenda have to be to even put that out there? PolitiFact, of course, dutifully says Ron Johnson's numbers, the whistleblower's numbers, that's a big false. Oh, fake news. That's from PolitiFact. Folks, this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the demonic. We're dealing with the absolute demonic. They released a bioweapon. They released a bioweapon jab. And now they're gaming all of us. How do we fight back? The truckers in Canada are fighting back. We're fighting back here. Civil disobedience. But folks, failing that, failing civil disobedience, be prepared. Because we've seen in historic times, we've seen how this ends up. Now, in cases such as in Lithuania and other Eastern European countries, including Poland, these kind of protests have worked. But the globalists, this is for all the marbles for them. Will this work? Will they back down? If they don't, you know where this is headed. And pray to God that it doesn't head there, because no one wants that. But no one wants our kids, children, that is, raped by these globalists through injections. No one wants our families decimated by either the bioweapon or the jab. And we certainly don't want to be lied to. John Moore, LibertyMan.com, is with me. Before I get to John, I want to, you know, I tell you what. We still have to take care of business no matter how busy we get, no matter how, you know, how much is going on. And I know that we're what, a month plus out? It's February already, of course. We're out from the Christmas shopping season. It's but a distant memory, as perhaps some of the gifts you've given. Maybe you put them on credit cards. You're thinking about the interest rates and the credit cards you used over the holidays? I've got the answer for you, and it's a great answer. It's Lightstream.com/Hagman. The fine folks at Lightstream. Oh, let me tell you, this is a great service they provide. Lower your interest rate and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. I often talk about my wife's niece, my niece. You know, she did this. Okay, she's a professional, and she got like a whole bunch of credit cards, and really, I mean, she was paying a ton of money every month. She went to Lightstream, and they saved her and are saving her right around $700 a month. And I've said this before. That number might be off a little bit, but it's at least $650 and maybe as much as close to $800 in interest. That's what Lightstream does. Lightstream believes that the people with good credit, they deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Lightstream's credit card consolidation loans have rates as low as 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. There are no fees, and you can even get your money as soon as the same day you apply. Now, here's how to do this. Just for my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. That is lightstream.com/Hagman, two N's on Hagman. This is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. But visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. And again, as I always say, you will thank me later. You're going to be glad you did. Again, with me, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. We've got so much to talk about, and I appreciate John's flexibility. I know that here and there, yeah, just snow out the wazoo. Okay. Here, where did the snow come from? So it makes travel, it makes communications at times difficult. But again, with me, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. That's his website. He's got a radio show every single weekday. That's 3 hours. Go to thelibertyman.com. You can catch the current episode, drill down for previous episodes on the player that he's got there. Plus, I mentioned earlier, Dr. Teresa Long in the military, a whistleblower testifying on January 24th of 2022 with Ron Johnson, senator from Wisconsin, about DMED and the absolute increase in numbers. Well, you know what? John talked about that even before the hearing. So you want to, yeah, I got to tell you, you want to keep your knowledge base up? You got to tune in to John, thelibertyman.com, and of course this platform. John, how are you, sir?
I'm wonderful, Doug. How are you, sir?
Good. And by the way, folks, this is going to be audio only, and the reason for that is because of the weather issues messing with our comms. So we want to make sure that John's got a solid communication with us. So I'm glad you're joining me. I just spoke about Dr. Teresa Long. You had mentioned her, the fact that the DMED medical database in the military showing the 5-year period from 2016 to 2020, the numbers in 2021 exceed the of different maladies exceed the 5-year period. For example, diseases of the nervous system between from 2021 in 2021 compared to the 5-year period previous increased by 1,048%. Now, of course, the military says, you know what? We screwed up. The numbers were all messed up. And we didn't catch it for 5 years. So that's really not a big thing. But Dr. Teresa Long says otherwise. But you pointed that out earlier, or you were one of the first to point that out.
Well, Doug, the Department of Defense is grasping at straws. You and I have both seen attorneys do this when they know they're losing. They know the evidence is against them. They know they're going to lose, but they still have to do something to please their clients. And if it wasn't so serious, it'd be laughable. But these databases that the military maintains are very accurate, very well maintained. The excuses that they're making are very shallow and very laughable, unfortunately. Very laughable. The truth is, the sworn affidavit of Dr. Teresa Long. Now, for the benefit of people who haven't spent the decades you and I have in our careers, well, let's go over a little bit what a sworn affidavit is. First of all, a sworn affidavit is a document that can and often is admitted in court as evidence. It's made under oath in front of a notary public, sworn to and signed and sealed in front of the notary public. It's a very serious legal document that carries a lot of weight, especially when you have an active duty U.S. Army lieutenant colonel who's also a medical doctor swearing under oath that this is a true and accurate statement. Now, that's the sworn affidavit part. Now, Dr. Teresa Long also gave testimony before Congress, which was most likely under oath. I don't know that for a fact, but typically these witnesses are placed under oath before they give testimony.
Yes.
That's done almost all the time.
I can verify it was.
Okay. So we have a twofer here. We have Dr. Teresa Long submitting a sworn affidavit, which was made out under the Whistleblower Protection Act, by the way, so that she would not be harmed grievously. She's already been harmed. And then the sworn testimony before Congress. Not long after that, I think it was maybe 3 or 4 weeks, the Army changed her assignment down there in Alabama to where she's no longer the doctor in charge of determining the physical fitness of pilots to be suitable, and I assume the crews also, to be suitable to conduct aviation. So her testimony is groundbreaking. Her testimony will stand the test of time. Her testimony will be looked at from decades in the future unless the bad guys win. It'll be erased. If the bad guys win, it'll be erased from history. But assuming that they don't win, her testimony will be studied by generations of Americans as foundational in giving a crystal clear warning that we need to do something. We need to stop the COVID vaccinations, and we need to hopefully save what we can save. One of my favorite films was The Day After Tomorrow, which goes directly to my work about rising ocean levels and so forth. There's a scene in there where a world-class climatologist is making his last phone call before he dies to an American paleoclimatologist, a scientist who studies ancient weather. And what the climatologist and on this island off the coast of Scotland says to the American paleoclimatologist is the following: save the ones that you can. And Doug, that's where we are. That's how serious this is. Save the ones that you can. What my personal analysis is, if you got a shot and you're not sick, you may be one of the lucky ones that got the sterile solution, the sterile saline solution, maybe. If you got a booster, you're not sick, maybe you got lucky again. But that luck doesn't hold out too much longer. There's going to be a point.
Okay, so, and let's be clear, John. By the way, you got some jingle bells in the background. I'm not sure what that's all about. There you go. We can do the.
I'm trying to stop this.
Okay, all right.
It just continues.
It just keeps going. Stop the hammering.
I don't want to stop it. I'm going to turn off my telephone.
There you go.
I'll stop it.
So,
how about that?
That'll work. Okay, but wow. Just to be clear, you know, if people, you know, everyone who ran to get that jab, if they gave what I think I would believe the intended dose to have the intended effect, there would be bodies stacked up like cordwood. So what they did, and I think you would agree with this, I think we've come to this conclusion based on research and investigation. What they've done is modified the lots, modified the dosage, geographically spread it out, with emphasis, by the way, on areas of the so-called red states. And they knowingly did this as a population control or decimation of the population measure, a eugenics kind of operation. That's what I think happened. Is that pretty much what you think?
Oh, I agree. I wouldn't care to guess how many homicides you and I have worked between the two of us. A lot. I've worked hundreds of criminal cases. Hundreds.
Yeah.
Going back to 1973.
Yeah, I think I'm in the triple digits myself, so.
And movies and TVs and novels, writers, they like to make use of psychotic killers. It's interesting. It's fun. Makes for a good storyline. In real life, there's very few psychotic killers. But that's, in fact, what we're dealing with here, Doug.
Oh, man, you're right.
The men and women behind this, they fit the perfect definition of what a psychotic killer is. They have no remorse whatsoever. In fact, the first murder case I worked back in 73, the young man, 19 years old, he was a genuine psychotic murderer. He only killed two people. Anthony Fauci and the minions that he's connected to, they will be responsible for millions of human beings dying on this planet. I like to mention the country. You know, when you do what we do, Doug, we get people call in. Of course, I do a live call-in show. I get anti-Semitic individuals, usually men. They hate Jewish people for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm letting them know and everybody know Israel will cease to exist in 3 to 4 years. You can't lose 25-35% of your population sick or dead and still have a country. You can't. They're finished. Israel is done. And the same thing is in the process of happening for us. I know you're a busy guy. You may not be aware of it, but last week, I believe it was, in the last 8 or 10 days, two Navy SEAL trainees died following their training. Now, you don't get admitted to the BUDS course unless you're a superb athlete to begin with. You're not allowed to even begin to be a trainee in the BUDS course unless you're a superb athlete. which includes a complete physical to test for any heart abnormalities to make sure that they can stand withstand the rigors. And you also won't be admitted to that training unless you got the COVID clot shot. So I'm putting two and together and getting four. The training these men go through, the buzz training, is not that much dissimilar to what professional athletes, especially soccer players, go through on a weekly basis playing their chosen sport. We're at the beginning of our U.S. military being decimated by death and disability.
Yep.
That's beginning to happen already. Young men and women who want to have children that will be sterile. Young women that want to have babies that are having their babies being spontaneously aborted. Young men and women who are having, laying a little bit of foundation here. The average active duty military person is under the age of 45. Almost all of them. There are some that stay longer, but almost all of them are under age of 45, and most of them under age 40. These are relatively young, relatively compared to the general population, very healthy people. You don't have any individuals there with type 1 diabetes, for example. They're not allowed to be in the military. If your vision is not up to a certain standard, you're not allowed to be in the military. I knew a young man, he was not young now, but genius level IQ, naval intelligence wanted this guy really, really bad, but they could not get a waiver for his bad vision. In fact, members of the various bands, the Army band, the Navy band, they have to meet the same physical standards as an infantryman, or they're not, they don't have Army bandsmen in a wheelchair. These are very healthy men and women. And what we're seeing from the testimony last week is that in every category of illness that you can imagine, on the low end, they're up of 300 plus percent. On the high end, over 1,000%. And Doug, it's just getting started. As the boosters kick in, many service people started getting their COVID shot December, January, a year ago. So they've had time to get an original shot and two boosters, because you get a booster every 5 months. By the fourth booster, from what I'm seeing coming out of Israel is probably the best example of what's going on. From what's coming out of Israel, by the time you get the fourth booster, the odds of you not being either dead or disabled are dramatically increased. So that's what we're looking at, Doug. We're looking at the U.S. military being decimated by death and disability right now. Not some future possibility, but right now it's happening before our eyes.
In addition to the general population.
Yes, sir.
So, okay. And this, I understand mass formation psychosis. I understand people who genuinely want to do the proper thing, who listen and who trust their personal care physician, who trust others, and who trust actually, to some extent, trust the government. And they say, well, you know what? None of this, it can't be possible. This depopulation theory, it just can't be possible. They wouldn't do that to us. But yet the numbers are just starting to come out, and we can just see a pattern. Hell, with that Chelsea Lately or whatever, Handler or whatever her name is, and another comedian, a female comedian, they've got health problems. But there are so few on the side of the Fauci groupies, as I'll call them, who are making the connection, John. It's like this deluded disconnect, and I just.
Well, sir, you. I don't know if you're doing it intentionally, but using some of the same language that was used by the world's greatest guitar player who took the clot shot and could no longer play the guitar.
Eric Clapton, right?
Eric Clapton, thank you. He used the same language to describe how he came about and made the decision he made. His original statement was that he wanted to protect his grandchildren. So he did it in good faith, trusting people that he should not have trusted. obviously. And now we have the world's greatest guitar player unable to play at the level that he could previously. He may still be able to do some primitive guitar work, but nothing compared to what he's done for decades. That was a great loss to mankind to lose the world's greatest guitar players. He's still alive, but he no longer has the ability to play the guitar like he did. Tragic, absolutely tragic. But this tragic circumstances are compounded literally millions of times all over the world, and continue to be compounded thousands of times a day.
And by people who should know better, by people like surgeons. Can you imagine being a top surgeon and getting the jab and all of a sudden developing some neurological condition where you can't control the movement of your fingers or hands? Pilots. We're seeing this happen. We're taking out important members, productive members of our society, not just guitar players, but I mean, with all due respect to guitar players, but you know, some really important people, of professions. Now, having said all of that, all right, some people are starting to wake up, but it's because of the mandates. Because, you know, we see on the television, at least social media, or you know, on the not social media, but on alternative media, new media, the real media, we see the police beating the living tar out of people. For what? For not wearing a mask. For, you know, being too close. We see these whack job teachers who put students in an auditorium, segregate them. Unmasked from the mass people. We see all of this. But we're also seeing a segment beginning to wake up and say, wait a minute, this can't be about health anymore. If you're hurting my son, my daughter, if you're hurting me, if you're hurting my neighbor, my family, this can't be about health anymore. So there's a glimmer of hope, but I'm also seeing that component of people not catching up to the rest. In other words, it's almost as if we're going to run out of time. We're going to run out of space and time here, I don't know how else to describe it, but it's like chasing after something. I wrote a sentence down here. You know, you can lead a person, or you can ask a person. Let's see. Well, anyway, without regard to that, I don't have the paper I wrote that down on. It's pretty profound too, doggone it. So now the protest now is against the segregation. And I think this is an important distinction. It's against the mandates. Well, you go ahead and get the jab, but don't tell me I can't cross the border, which is a good thing to push back against. And maybe that segment of the population I referenced earlier, and you did too, maybe they're not ready to hear the big plan, what the real big plan is. But we're getting some pushback. How close are you following this stuff up in Canada?
Well, I know what's going on. I was really happy to see the 300 or so horses that were on the Canadian-U.S. border. You could tell these are real cowboys. They had the lariats strapped to their saddles as if they're ready to capture a running calf. I was seeing that. These are men and women you really don't want to mess around with. You know, they're up an hour before dawn. They work hard all day. If they got dairy cattle or some kind of that, they are out there 7 days a week, because dairy cattle have to be milked 7 days a week. In every kind of weather, whether it's 110 or 10 below zero, every kind of weather you can imagine. They're handy with every tool known to mankind to do every kind of work known to mankind. You really don't want to mess with these people. They're the people that make this country and this world work. That's who they are. And when you get them riled up, you're in trouble.
Now,
you're in really deep
both
trouble.
both the Cowboys and the truckers. Okay, yeah, you don't want to the farmers grow the food and ride the horses at times, and the truckers haul the food. You hack off both elements of that population, you got problems. So we see things happening in Ottawa. We see things happening in the border between Montana and Alberta, and now we're seeing Justin Fidel Castro Trudeau pushing back and doing some really nasty things. Here's my fear, John, and I'll just cut right to the bottom line on this. Here's my fear. I fear that we are going to be too polite in our pushback. Necessary to be polite, but it's going to be too polite. What's left after we get it up the wazoo from the government, whether it's the Canadian government, the U.S. government, or ultimately the party of Davos? What happens next? Because we're not going to take this anymore. And I fear what happens next is bloodshed.
Well, hopefully it won't come to that, but the possibility certainly exists that it could. The powers that be would love to see attacks on the hospitals that do the COVID clot shot, clinics that do it, doctors that are involved with it, companies manufacturing it. They would love to see physical attacks on those facilities. And if they don't happen on their own, they would probably set it up and as a false flag where they have a hired, trained, equipped individual to do that. And credit would be given to angry Americans, just plain old angry Americans, when in fact the person or persons doing it were hired, trained, and equipped by the powers that be to make it look like it was some kind of spontaneous act of violence by conservative Americans. It could easily go that direction. I hope it doesn't. Things could spin wildly out of control very quickly. We mustn't forget that the dilemma we find ourselves in can and will be taken advantage of by our sworn enemies, the Russians and the Chinese. When the time is right, once the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard is weak enough, that would be the ideal time to strike. To strike against Taiwan, strike against us with weapons that we have no countermeasures, missiles that go 15, 16 times the speed of sound. We don't have any way to stop those, Doug. We don't.
You make a good point. And you know, we're suffering right now from a weakened military. Initially, it was a woke military. Of course, General Milley, apologizing for being white and apologizing for everything that, I don't know. But so the wokeness of the permanent soldiers, the bureaucrats, the politicians, not really the soldiers, not really the ones that bleed and die on the battlefield. So they're woke and now they're weak. Okay, so what happens next is going to be woke, weak, and broken, I suppose. So we're going to have to contend with that. But the only thing, but I would say this, John, how do you feel about this? Yeah, that could put us out in a position of vulnerability, but don't forget, we have a whole boatload of guns and a whole boatload of people ready to use them here in the United States. And I know that guns versus a hypersonic missile, not a fair fight, but in terms of actual invasion, we can make a difference, right? Or no?
Well, obviously that's true, and it has to be factored into whatever plans the Russians and Chinese have. Their plan would be to cut off command and control, take down a part or all of the power grid, assassinate leaders in every community. That would be the plan. And then their hope would be that us barefoot peasants like myself would be disorganized with no leadership. That would be their plan to accomplish their goals. And it would be bloody. There's no doubt about it. It would be bloody. It would be long. And I don't know what the outcome would be. I believe that we win in the end, but it would be a long, bloody battle, to say the least, sir.
What kind of timeline do you see everything? Because you mentioned a lot. We have a lot of stuff going on. There is a lot of stuff going on in Ukraine, for example. And Lee Stranahan did a great job explaining the composition of Ukraine and really some of the history behind Ukraine, but and also Tucker Carlson on Friday did a great job about explaining about how we're being gamed and false flags, the State Department, CIA dopes and mopes talking about different things. How soon do you see all of this, at least overseas, with Russia, Ukraine, with China, Taiwan, South China Sea, and the fact that we've got multiple people in our own government, House of Representatives and Senators, sold out, executive level, sold out to the Chinese, Hunter Biden, for crying out loud, FBI, I'm telling you, if you want it, I got Hunter's hard drive, copy of it right here. Forget about the porn pictures. Take a look at the Ukraine stuff. Take a look at the Russia stuff or the China stuff. But so do you have a time frame in mind about this?
Well, nothing precise. That's what people are searching for, is a time frame. I think it'd be more productive to talk about the goals of our enemies and how they intend to achieve their goals.
Let's do that then. Okay.
Keep in mind, first of all, Russian leadership are Caucasian, but they think like Asians. That's difficult for many Americans to wrap their brains around. So they're Caucasians that have more of the mindset of Asians than they do Caucasians, which is critical to all this. The Asians think, the Chinese Politburo, they think and they plan decades in advance, and the Russians have been doing the same thing. They've been thinking and planning decades in advance. And my friend Jeff Nyquist, who's on with me twice a week, Tuesday and Wednesday, he sat across the interview table from a number of high-level KGB defectors. And he got to know these guys, got to gain their trust. And in that confidence of that relationship, just like when you and I interview somebody and gain their confidence, these guys spilled their guts about the real goals of the communists and how they intend to achieve them through long-range planning to harm our country in many ways, socially, politically, economically, militarily. It's been going on for decades, Doug, and I have to give credit where credit is due. The communists have been quite successful in destroying our culture, our economy, our military. They're quite successful. Making use of what they call themselves useful idiots, well-meaning Americans who think, wouldn't it be great to have American teenage girls in combat? What an absurd thought that is. But these well-meaning liberal Americans think that that's exactly where young American teenage girls belong, is in combat, just as one example. And there's dozens and dozens of other examples, of course. Point being, when the Russian Politburo and the Chinese Politburo, when they decide the time is right, you want a time frame? That's in their hands. When they decide the time is right, that's when they'll strike. When they have the greatest advantage to do the most damage with the least amount of resources on their part being spent. The Politburo of Russia does not want to deal with crying Russian mothers who are burying their sons either, any more than they need to. And the Chinese don't want to be doing the same thing. They're willing to spend their own lives. Of course they are, on one hand. On the other, it's not good for them to, especially for the Russians, to be wasting Russian lives conquering the United States. So when they can do it in the most cost-effective manner with the least amount of their own lives being lost, that's when they make their strike, Doug.
So, I think we can almost, and I don't want to put a time to this, but we can almost see when we're going to have the most excess deaths. I think we're already seeing that. Now, I've read, and I have not authenticated this, but stocks of publicly traded funeral home, the companies that manage funeral homes, have almost doubled. I've seen whistleblowers from funeral homes saying, "Hey, we're handling more deaths now from blood clots and related disorders, deaths by people who had this mRNA jab." You're seeing, and I played a small clip. Doctor, the attorney Reiner Fulmich, has this international criminal grand jury model investigation, model grand jury going on. And so I guess I said all of that to say this. I think we're going to see this uptick in death like really soon. Like in, you know how this was supposed to be a dark winter? Yeah, I think it's going to continue to get darker as the months progress into spring, and it's even going to be a darker spring. Your thoughts?
Well, I agree absolutely, Doug. The most current information we've got about the increased fatalities is the third quarter of last year. I expect the fourth quarter tallies will be released any day now. I fully expect them to be higher than the third quarter, which was a dramatic increase over a year ago. And this will continue for probably a year or two. Each successive quarter having a greater number of fatalities than the quarter before. And people are they don't know why. Because I get around a lot. I was at a consignment shop, and the ladies there, they get the sacks of the local newspaper unsold to use for packing material. And I asked, there was two of them working behind the counter, I said, do you ladies read the obituaries? And the one lady spoke up, "Well, yes, I read the obituaries." I said, "Have you noticed that they've doubled since last summer?" She said, "Yeah, I've noticed that." And I asked her, "Do you know why?" She says, "COVID." And I said, "Well, close. Not COVID. It's the COVID. The consequences of COVID vaccination is why all these people are dying." And she got real quiet, Doug, because she realized instantly that that was true. So it's unfortunate. And I'm seeing it. You're seeing it. Most of our listeners are seeing it. Most people won't wake up and smell the coffee as to the real reason behind all these increased fatalities until it's too darn late, because it'll just be too late. And they will continue to get the clot shots and the booster shots every 5 months until they're dead or disabled. And it's an unfortunate reality, but that is reality, Doug. And the harm caused to our country, to our economy, to our military, it's hard to measure. Because we have no guidelines, this has never happened before. So, in the absence of guidelines, we're just left with speculation. How bad will it be hurt? What's not going to work? What's not going to be available? What skills will be in short supply? Well, obviously, anybody connected to the medical profession, anybody connected to law enforcement, anybody connected to the military, fire departments, paramedics. They're all going to be hurt or disabled or dead. That's what's coming, Doug, and it's coming right now, not some future date. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is conspiracy fact. Numbers speak for themselves, Doug.
You know, an interesting dynamic that I saw and I'm seeing right now, especially with the truckers in Canada, in Ottawa, in now Toronto as well, and also in north of Wyoming, in Alberta. You know, the police, when dispatched, all right, and you and I, we're very familiar with this. A police department is structured as a paramilitary organization. They've got the same structure as a military.
That's right.
And it's very interesting to me, because when I took the qualifying tests and such back in the early 80s for a police officer. You know, out of all of the interviews that you have to become a police officer, at least back then, the one thing that they always stressed was loyalty to command. You never questioned command. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was, You get an order, you carry that order out. Okay, that was like the number one thing. And police officers, you know what I'm talking about, or at least the older ones. So what I'm seeing now in Canada are, and this was today, and I watched this morning. I saw, this was in Ottawa, where police officers confiscated the truckers' fuel, the truckers' food. By the way, the truckers are feeding the homeless. They're feeding other people. They use the, and they're feeding themselves. They use the fuel to keep themselves warm in temperatures far below zero up there. But the police came and confiscated all of that. And I watched a pastor up there, I think the only pastor that was up there among the truckers, praying to the police officers, praying for the police officers and over the police officers. It was the most amazing. I watched it and I'm thinking to myself, here's a pastor facing the police officers, this row of police officers, and praying that they wake up and understand what they're doing. The reason, I guess the reason I mentioned that is the following orders process. I don't think is going to hold water once, and I choose my words carefully, all hell breaks loose. Because I really think, aside from them, the ones who don't convert after the deaths of their associates and colleagues, when I say convert, I'm talking about convert to the side of freedom, the side of no mandates, the side of anti-Davos, party of Davos kind of stuff, anti-globalism, will be the ones that'll akin to the Nazi prison guards. I don't know where I was going with that, except to say, you know, John, this is such a spiritual conflict, brother. It really is.
Ultimately, it is a spiritual conflict. Now, a little historical perspective may help. In Romania, Ceausescu had the military and secret police on his side up to a point. That point changed when the citizens were riled up and in the streets, and then literally in 24 hours, the military and the police changed sides and went against Ceausescu and sided with their own people, their friends, their relatives, their countrymen.
That was on December 21st, 1989. I watched that. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yes, and so we have we have that perspective to look at. I've publicly chewed out the Australian police and military both for going against their oath, which is to help the people of their country, not harm the people of their country. I don't know what their oath is, but without a doubt, the police and the military in Australia take an oath to serve and protect their countrymen in some manner. I don't have that oath in front of me. And I've chewed them out publicly for going against their own oath, going against their own countrymen, the men and women that they're related to by blood and marriage, the men and women that they went to school with, the men and women that live in their own community, not some foreign enemy. That's who they're up against. And I'll do that again publicly here because I'm sure you got many listeners in Australia. If you're a police officer or a military member in Australia, going against your own people, well, shame on you. Shame on you.
Yep.
For doing that.
Yep.
And if you're a Canadian police officer going against your own countrymen, shame on you for following the dictates of a communist prime minister, Mr. Trudeau, and going against your own people to harm your own people. These truckers are not the enemy. The enemy is the Canadian Parliament and the Canadian prime minister who've enacted things that harm the Canadian people, harm the Canadian economy, harm the health and well-being of everybody in Canada. That's who the enemy is, all you police officers up there in Canada. And shame on you. You should publicly resign, write a letter, and publish it as to why you're resigning, and get a different job. shame on you for following those orders. Now,
thank you. Yes.
Being a U.S. service member, it's emphasized to follow lawful orders. That's what's emphasized to every member of the U.S. military, to follow lawful orders. If an order is not lawful, it cannot and should not be followed. And I'm pretty sure that every police department, every military on the planet has something similar that maybe North Korea may be an exception, that they, the members of the military and the police should only follow lawful orders. And I have every reason to believe that that's true for every member of the U.S. military, every U.S. police officer, every Canadian police officer, every Canadian military member, that they should only follow lawful orders. If it goes against your oath, it's obviously unlawful. If it's causing harm to innocent people, it's unlawful, and you should not follow it.
But they do.
And,
But they do, and it's, again, it's that captivating. And I, you know, at some point, look, I back the blue, right? Okay. But at some point, you have to say, wait a minute. No. I can't back you if you go out and you steal food or fuel from the truckers who are engaged in a peaceful protest. I mean, for crying out loud, a peaceful protest. No one was killed. No one was hurt. As opposed to BLM, Antifa, they burn churches, they burn buildings, they hurt police. And we have a pastor praying for the police, the ones that are taking the fuel and the food, praying for them, praying that they change, you know, that they see the light. But nonetheless, being very, very cordial. I've never seen a protest this nice, or a revolution this nice. So, yeah, I fear, John, that something will happen, and we will be out of options. Either comply and die, you know, comply or die, comply and die, or we fight back. And I'm afraid that that's where we're headed very, very quickly. And I would urge everyone to be prepared for this and understand which side you're on. And no one is a spectator in this. Don't think you're a spectator. You're not a spectator, right? I mean, there are no spectators in this war for our lives. There are no spectators, sadly.
That's right. That's right. There's no spectators. And what's going on in New York and San Francisco and other places where people have to demonstrate that they've had a vaccination to enter certain public accommodations, restaurants and certain stores, that's so un-American. That is so wrong. To fly on aircraft, you have to either be vaccinated or subject yourself to one of the make-believe COVID tests, which I say make-believe because they don't prove a darn thing. We're a country.
John, why are all the tests made in Korea or China? Well, why? Why? The tests.
Well,
you know, they're made in China. And Biden, Mr. Potato Head, had the audacity that, I just say we're not going to buy anything from China. No, it's all from the United States, and all the tests made in China. What the hell is going on here?
Well, I don't care where they're made as long as they're legitimate. The tests have been found to have particles in there that should not be in there, particles that are unhealthy for human beings. Even if they didn't, the test itself is proves nothing. The man who developed the PCR test says he never intended for it to be used for this purpose. And I like to repeat the story. I met a young man, a medical student at St. Louis University Medical School. It was a year ago this winter. And one of his buddies was in the Missouri National Guard with a medical unit, and they were doing COVID testing with these PCR swabs. And since these are young men in their mid to late 20s, they thought, wouldn't it be a gas to mail in 600 swabs that never touched a human being and see what comes back. All 600 came back positive. Sure. It's a complete fraud. It's absolutely a complete fraud, these tests. And we now have a U.S. Army lieutenant who's being court-martialed because he refused to wear a mask, refused to take the COVID test. They're court-martialing this young man. I'm sure he understood what was going to happen, and I'm sure he did it as a political statement to throw his career in the trash can and go into the premises at back east there, one of the forts, knowing full well that he would be court-martialed for refusing a lawful order to wear a mask and to submit to the testing.
Okay.
Another victim of this war.
So is there any hope in your view? And folks, you think about this because we all have to, I really believe we have to be sober-minded and we have to prayerfully consider certain things because from now on, I believe nothing. First of all, there is no going back to normal. Folks, please understand that there is no going back to what you thought was normal, you know, pre-2019 or this idyllic vision of the 1950s ain't happening. Not going back there because part of this too. I want to toss this out to you too. You spoke of the military, and this is a little off topic, but not too much. You spoke of about the military, and you spoke about. We're seeing people right now, even in the military, but people in general right now, going for this transgender movement. You're seeing more and more of this transgender stuff. And it used to be a mental illness, and it still is in my view, but okay, let's just take it for what it is. Now, you know, you got people in the military, transgender, you know, whatever, but I would submit to you, John, and think about this, and tell me what you think about this, that this transgender movement is transhumanism light. This is like Windows 3.0 as opposed to Windows 98, we'll say. This is the introduction. Transgenderism is the introduction into transhumanism, and transhumanism is a way to contaminate the DNA of all human living beings. That's just my view. What do you think?
Well, only people who are alive can become transhuman. So they're willing to achieve their goal of making, we need to define what transhuman is. In my opinion, it's people who have become susceptible to being manipulated by electromagnetic energy. That's my opinion, okay. Based on what I've seen. That will only apply to the ones who survive. A sizable portion will be either dead or disabled. So what's the point of trying to control somebody who's disabled? That serves no purpose. But the ones who do live and survive, yes, they may very well be able to control them. They want only 500 million people alive on this planet. With them being in control of that 500 million, and they want they worship planet Earth, by the way. They worship Gaia.
Yep.
They look at human beings as a virus on the planet to be eradicated. That's how they look at us. I recall I was working for a well-known criminal defense attorney in St. Louis, Mr. Charles Shaw, back in the late 90s. I showed him the map of what the United States would look like once they were done depopulating, with very limited areas for human beings, mostly red areas where no human beings were allowed to live, and the yellow corridors to connect the various areas where human beings could live. And he said, "John, it can't be true." So he took it to a man connected to the Missouri Real Estate Association, and the man confirmed that map was in fact real, that was the plan. I recall another. I went to a meeting. This would have been in the early two, maybe around 2002, 2003, something like that, locally. A meeting was called to discuss the possibility of putting meters on people's private water wells to charge people money to draw water out of their own well. They almost needed an armed escort to get the proponents of that out of the meeting room. my hillbilly neighbors, they're ready to lock and load, and it became really clear really quick that proposal was not going to fly. Putting a meter on people's private water wells to charge them money for drawing their water out of their well.
Yeah, not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
No.
Not a good idea.
But see, we're going in that direction now, not with necessarily with water wells, but think about it this way. With this green agenda, the carbon tax and such, every mile you drive, you're going to be taxed. Your carbon footprint. So it's the same concept, different areas of potential revenue or lack of ability to get have your own stuff. So
absolutely,
yeah,
man. Absolutely.
Wow. I'll tell you what, time with you just flies. We've got about 4.5 minutes. What are your closing thoughts today as we head into the this week? And what are you looking at, brother?
I'm looking at always strengthening and improving my spiritual house. I encourage other people to do the same thing. Ultimately, you mentioned this earlier, Doug, this is a spiritual war. That's ultimately what it is. Sure, you need the beans, the bullets, and all the other things, medical supplies. Of course, you need those things on one hand. On the other, without a strong spiritual foundation, you are hopelessly lost, hopelessly lost. So get your spiritual house in order and make it a daily event that you worship our Lord Jesus, ask for protection from our Lord Jesus, and know that we're on the right side of all this. And that will give you the internal strength that you need, the spiritual and emotional strength that you need to survive this. Without that, all the beans and bullets and medical supplies in the world aren't going to help you. They aren't. I've known people like that. They're hopelessly lost. You need a strong spiritual foundation. That is an absolute must. It is not optional, Doug, in my opinion.
That alone, that's the, if there is a magic bullet to all of this, that is the magic bullet, and that is the spirit, recognizing the spiritual component to this, or the heavy spiritual side of this, and acting accordingly. Get on your knees, pray for forgiveness, repentance, that is, and pray for the future of your family and our nation. And that's what we have to do. John Moore, you are the man. John, thelibertyman.com. You got a whole bunch of good programs coming up this week. I love it. I listen to your program. It's good show prep. Thelibertyman.com. And John, I want to thank you for being part of the show today. As always, I really appreciate you. Really do.
Thank you, Doug. Well, look, it's good to be with you, and I look forward to being back next Monday, sir.
Yes, sir, as long as it's going to depend on my surgery schedule, but I'll be in touch with you. But
Sounds good. Let me know.
All right, brother.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
See you then.
All right, folks, that was John Moore, thelibertyman.com. I urge you to support John and support his work, and definitely bookmark his website, because there's a lot of great information on his website, as well as his radio show. And I appreciate him riding shotgun with me on Monday. We're gonna be following, of course, all of the events in Canada. Again, ladies and gentlemen, the situation, you've really got the DNA of Fidel Castro in Justin Trudeau, and the activities of Fidel Castro through Justin Trudeau, as well as the entire parliament, most of the parliament, and it's not a good mix. You've got truckers coming together, and we have only begun to fight. And then you've got the mass delusion out there, which is just it's hard to describe. Folks, there's still time, and I would urge everyone, if you haven't done so already, our fundraiser, Money Bomb, whatever you want to call it, there's still time to get that. People have been raving about the information. Go to HagmanReport.com, click on the link on the right-hand side, and the exclusive content, six hours of video and a PDF. It's stuff that you'll never see anywhere else. And I want to thank Steve Quayle as well for really being a part of that. It's just tremendous. May God bless each and every one of you. be watching everything that happens over the next 24 hours, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Good night.